Welcome to the Casual Fridays REI podcast, where you'll learn about the wildly profitable niche of land investing. Active land investors Adam Southey and Justin Sliva are here to share their experiences with you so that you can learn how to build massive cash flow and huge profits from this highly lucrative niche. So without further ado, here are your hosts, Adam Southey and Justin Sliva.
What's up, everybody? I'm Adam Southey, here with my co-host, Justin Sliva, and this is the Casual Fridays REI podcast. Today, we're going to talk about defining your acquisition criteria. Before we do that, though, I want to take a second to talk to you guys about the Plum Investment Group. Do you have a property you need funding for? Plum Investment Group is your solution. Plum helps land investors grow their business by funding your raw land purchase. It's truly an awesome deal, guys, and just to be clear, this isn't a loan. Plum will actually partner with you by putting up the money for your project. So do yourself a favor and go check them out at www.pluminvestmentgroup.com.
Hump day.
Hump day.
You happy about that?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, just making sure.
Why wouldn't I be?
I don't know. Just making sure over there. Just making sure. I feel like it's been a long week.
Not for me. It's been a great week.
Okay. So we're getting closer to the end of the month. We had a goal set up for you to get two properties, me to buy four. Are you going to hit your two?
Yeah, they're in title right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, they're 40-acre properties, really good access, really good attributes. I actually really like these properties.
Don't get everybody excited. They're going to be hitting you up. You want to wholesale it? You talked about wholesaling last week.
I got properties I can wholesale. If people want them, let me know.
If that's the case, how do they get a hold of you, Adam?
They go through our website, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Cool. You let them know what you have?
I've got it together. Anybody wants, let me know.
Perfect. Do I need to look at those?
You can.
I don't know if I should yet or not. I signed on a couple big properties this week. So we did hit our four.
Nice.
Not counting Arkansas properties because we bought like 15 last week, I think. Oh,
nice.
I wrote so many checks.
Well, as long as you're getting checks back too, that's a good thing.
Yeah, we are. That side's kind of fun. It just, it's fun to get the couple $100. We talked about it on the last show. One of what we're going to talk about today is understanding your acquisition criteria. And yours is pretty dialed in.
Yeah. But what's funny is, and what made me think of this is that I actually had an attorney call me out on it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because he got one of my letters and he wrote back and he's like, what exactly is your acquisition criteria? What does that mean?
Well, hold on. Make sure people understand that you put that in your actual contingency.
Yeah. So it's one of the things that my agreement says. It's like rule number one.
Contingency.
Rule number one.
Contingency.
Yeah. Must meet acquisition criteria.
Yep.
Right. So, and then there's some other things. Got to have road access. Got to have this. Got to have that. And he just wrote it. Obviously, it sounds kind of vague for a reason.
Yeah.
Right.
It's our get out of everything clause.
Yeah. And so, that was his main question. And he even said it too. He's like, "What exactly is your acquisition criteria?" Because that's kind of vague.
Yeah. And we both added that into our contract. That's not something that was standard when we went through the Land Academy course. They talked about acquisition requirement. And I think when you're new, you don't really understand what that means. And then after our second or third mail-in of telling people no because we just didn't like their property, we added it as a contingency.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, hey, contingency. Like for me, it was contingency number six. Yeah, I've got to opt out of this because contingency number six, it doesn't meet my requirements. And they're like, well, what were your requirements? I need less trees than that. I need more trees than that. Ooh, I need a pond. Ooh, I need a fence on the north corner. Whatever I could think of to get out of it, that was what that number six was. This is my catch-all.
Yeah, no, I agree too. And it could have just been like exactly what you just said. Oh, I need a pond on it. And this yours doesn't have a pond. It was just anything to help me get out of it.
Because we don't like being jerks and telling people no when really we have no reason other than it doesn't excite me.
Yeah.
Remember like before you got married or before you had like a serious girlfriend, you go on dates and you're like, the girl's nice, but...
Yeah, I do remember that.
She did not meet my acquisition requirements.
But after I got that, it reminded me, or it made me think, maybe I should have something set that, some set rules, right? And for him, I just wrote back. I said, well, acquisition criteria consist of several things. One of them being access. Mm-hmm. And you can see by the attached photo, because I took a screenshot of Parcel Fact. And I said, you can see by the screenshot that you don't have access. And because of that reason, I can't move forward. And he was like, oh, okay, perfect. That works.
Yeah. But that's another one of our contingencies we have in there too. But what we're talking about is what kind of property you're going to buy, and you know that prior to you ever looking at it. Like, and I had a client last week, we went through 50 properties together, and I'm like, nope. And he's like, you're going through that really fast. And I'm like, because I know exactly what I would want. Now, this doesn't mean this could meet your criteria. And he posed a great question. He goes, well, if you know you were, he goes, because he asked me to look at it like through the eyes of Plum. He's like, well, if you had an investor that was investing it that didn't care and he just let his money sit there in that property, would you buy it? And that's a great question. I think that's what we all, you know, need to ensure that we have a clear understanding of what we want and how we're going to exit the property. But it all starts with knowing exactly what you want to buy at the beginning.
I agree. And what I buy now is completely different than what I used to buy. So my acquisition criteria has evolved over time, right? And so right now I'm looking for properties that part of that criteria is you got to have a maintained road. Exactly. It can be dirt, but it needs to be maintained. And I get properties back all the time that may have four-wheel trail or something that leads to it, but that's not what I want anymore.
Yep.
Plenty of other people still buy those and they make money on them.
They make lots of money on them.
It's just not for me anymore.
Yeah, and I had that conversation with somebody. I said, if I can't drive my wife's GX, her Lexus four-wheel drive, it's four-wheel drive, to it comfortably, or my wife can't drive it and have to worry about getting stuck with her street tires, I don't want the property. That's me. That's what I want. And you shouldn't feel bad about knowing what you want.
No, I agree.
Should you?
No.
Okay.
The toughest part is telling someone that I don't want their land because it doesn't meet. And so they put money into it. They like the land.
Mm-hmm.
And then I come back and I'm like, well, your access is crap. I don't want it. Or you don't have the attributes that I'm looking for.
You don't say your access is crap.
No, I don't. But that's how they hear it, I'm sure.
Yeah. That's what we think.
Yeah.
Because we're nice guys. Like, we want to do what's right for people.
Yeah.
And we've already offered them 20, 30 cents on a dollar. They told us yes, and we were like, meh, I could do it, but.
And a lot of the people think that we specifically mailed them for their property. They're the only person in the county, right? I get that question all the time. Well, why did you want my piece of land?
Yeah.
And I always go, well, I don't. I sent out 2,000 offers to everyone in your county. And I'm like, oh.
This is a scam, isn't it? No, I want to believe that there is we talk about it pretty often that, you know what you want and what kind of business you want to run. And then the second piece to that is, remember, it is your business. You can run it the way you want to. So if you want two track that has an easement access, go get all that you want. But we have those contingencies in place and know exactly what we're looking for when we go into shop.
Yeah, I've heard some of the bigger names say that as long as you can get to it, the property somehow.
Legally. As long as you can legally get to it.
I've heard them say, as long as you can get to it, doesn't matter if you have to fly a helicopter onto it, they'll buy it.
Really?
I have, yeah. Because there's a buyer for everything.
Yeah. I'm not saying they're wrong. That's the properties I've been burned on. I've lost money on three deals. All three of them had a barbed wire fence you couldn't see. Oh, it looks like I can get there with two track. No, the rancher around you put a fence up.
Yeah. I guess, though, maybe the point is if you can buy it at the right price, then you can always resell it.
I agree with that. And that's where my biggest point of contention is you hear, so we offer, say, $500 an acre, and it looks like it has horrible access. It may be legal, it may not, but there's physically a two-track to it. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to give you $500 an acre for it. I might give you $150 an acre. And that's where I think some of those people do that, and they make that switch. They make the offer and said, okay, hey, I can't give you full price because the access is janky, whatever the word they want to use. And they say, okay, but I can give you $150 an acre. Sometimes those people will take it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they turn around and list the property to somebody else, and they make money. I can't knock the hustle.
No, it's not for me.
Me as well. Me as well, my friend. I think with Plum, I've seen a lot of those properties get turned away because of that reason. And I'm like, it even gets to a level where, okay, this one's close enough that in my personal land business, I'd buy it, but in Plum, I would not. And I've had those conversations, and those are tough ones. And I talked about one last week that we had. No, I mentioned it on Finance Friday. I didn't talk about it on here, but it was like 150 acres in Tennessee, and it had a strip to get to the road of property, but the road kind of veered off the easement into somebody else. It went through two other parcels. Guy, he's going to make $100,000 on it. And I feel bad because I couldn't do it, but it's in the operating agreement that I can't. And I'm just like, oh, this one's tough. Like, it was making me sick to my stomach. I was sick for a day, but we passed it on to a buddy of mine that I've done deals with, and he's going to make money. The manager's going to make money. And the family got rid of the land that they were holding on to and opened up some cash.
So everyone's happy.
Yep. Everybody's happy except for me. So hopefully one of them buys me lunch for making it happen for them.
I think it would be a small price to pay.
I think so. I mean, what, an ultimate cheeseburger?
From?
Jack in a Box.
Ugh.
You don't like that?
No.
Okay. When are we going to Nicky D's?
I'm ready.
Okay. We should do one live there.
We can't do a live show from Nikki D's. First, let's say we're saying Nikki with an N.
Yeah. Not Mickey, but not, Nikki's with an N.
Yeah, it's a little hole in the wall here in Fort Worth that if anyone comes to town and they want a great hamburger, we'll happily take you there because it is.
You get the meat sweats afterwards.
Oh, my God. You name it. They think of the greasiest, grossest hamburgers that they can come up with.
And make it delicious.
Mm-hmm. We've got one with hash browns and fried eggs and jalapenos.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah. So good. Now that we're all hungry, and we hope that you have a big lunch plan for today, think about what your acquisition requirements are. Let us know what you're looking for, what you like to see. As Adam said, he's got a stockpile of properties that just recently come back, and maybe some of those that he got that doesn't fit his may fit yours. And we all like about high fives and you making money off the deals that we find.
Mm-hmm.
So what is one of your favorite things to look for on a property? Like what's like one of the things that gets you super excited?
Mountain views.
Mm-hmm. So you want a mountain in the distance or on a mountain or both?
I don't want the property. What do you mean on a mountain?
Like on the foothills of the mountain? Like I bought some properties at like it'd be 40 acres and like the north 10 acres kind of sit on the side of the hill.
Oh yeah. I like that.
Okay.
Yeah. But as long as the mountain view, you can see it too. It's not one of those, I'm standing on the property and 30 miles away, there's a mountain.
Yeah.
You know, it's close enough that it looks good.
You do it for the picture though. It's like you're doing it for the gram.
Yeah, well, obviously, I mean, the photos help with the marketing and people love the mountains. And if your property's really close to it, you can get out and play with it. But if I don't want those ones where the mountain is 30 miles in the distance, you know, because that's really nothing.
Yep. No, I agree with that. I love pictures that you see like that. We have mountains in the green, a little with snow cap, and then you have a flat spot to build. And you just kind of have that, I guess, being from Texas, the mountain view for me. Like, I remember the first time I went to Salt Lake. And I'm sitting there we were at the Salt Lake College there and doing engineer training. I'm sitting on there eating my lunch, just staring at the mountains every day because I'd never seen mountains before. And I think it's beautiful. So yeah. I get that. But do you look for a certain size?
Yeah, I'd like 20 to 50 acre.
Okay. So and the reason I'm asking is I kind of know what you like to buy. Mm-hmm. But for some of our listeners that haven't really defined what their acquisition is, and it's going to change. It's okay. It's going to change. You're not going to make a wrong choice. So if you say, hey, I'm going to buy anything 1 to 5 acres because that's what I have my acquisition funds for, but I want it to look like this and be in this area. So then you just do that. Then your next go around on your mailers, maybe, hey, I'm going to do 6 acres to 25 acres. It may be this to this. You know, it could be whatever you want. So there's no right or wrong, but know going into that area, know what you're going to be looking for because you want to know how you're going to get rid of it.
Yeah, so that, I mean, pretty much my standard is I'm mailing 20 to 50 acres. I want a good actual road access. Mm-hmm. I want mountain views or some other really good attribute. And then it just also just kind of has to excite me.
Yep. Okay.
I mean, that really is. I see it and I go, wow, okay, yeah, that's the one.
So this is, I mean, it's just like dating.
It is just like dating, so yeah.
I got it. She's got to have this, this, and this. And she's got to excite me a little bit.
A little bit.
So just because she checks the box, she doesn't mean she's going to excite you.
That is true. gotta have something about her.
Yeah, I really got no room to talk. I had never dated as an adult. I've been with my wife since we were kids, so I lived vicariously through my friends. But yeah, I got nothing for that.
Yeah. I waited till I was 34 to get into a serious relationship. So I've dated.
Yeah, you've been my vicarious friend. And I'm not a good friend to have like that because I'll pump you up for some stuff that you shouldn't be doing. I'm like, yeah, do it. Did you call her back, Adam? Did you call her back?
I mean, I'm always a gentleman, always call back.
You know? I text him and say, it was nice meeting you. is that a thing now? Like text goodbyes?
I have been out of it for 3 years and in dating world, that's like 30. So all these apps and whatnot,
Yeah. We were still like hit the C button. To get to C, you had to hit 2-3 times when you texted.
What? Oh, a little context there.
Yeah, when you were texting. I hit the C 3 times.
Okay, let's get back on track. Do we have anything else we want to talk about?
No, let's summarize that. So acquisition requirements, and you do a great job of it, of saying, hey, I want this to this, and this is exactly what I'm going to do all the way through the deal. You know, I'm going to buy 20 to 50 acres. I'm going to ask this much down, and I'm going to walk through it. And that starts with the acquisition requirement you have. You're not just willy-nilly just saying, oh, I'm going to mail the whole country and see what comes back. No, you say, I want this to this.
Yeah, and that's the important part. When it comes back, that you're not just buying everything because you're so excited about buying a deal.
Yep. Buy what you want. It's your business.
Correct.
Own it.
Correct. Okay, well, that is it for today. We really appreciate it. It's Wednesday, so you finish the week out strong. And make sure, as part of your to-do list, you're going to Facebook, you're going to Instagram, you're giving us a like, giving us a follow. And then the most important part, we can't ask you enough. It really helps the show. If you go to iTunes, you go to Stitcher, go to wherever else you're listening to us, subscribe to the show, rate the show, review it. We love you for it, and we will see you on Friday. Thank you.
Bye.